I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And then Jesus' own words on the night he was to be delivered over into the hands of men to be crucified for each of our sins and the sin of the world, told his disciples that in the hour of their trouble, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And a few verses later, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence here today, and we come before you as friends in the family of Carol Trimble. We are here because we loved her. We miss her. We want to cherish her memories. And we seek to honor her life and to gather to honor the God that she served. We thank you for her life. Lord, we can see in the expression of her life that you formed her and that you knew her. You walked with her and she with you. And even now we have confidence in the grace and forgiveness that she found in Jesus Christ, the Savior, that she is in your presence today. Thank you that you are a God of mercy who promises to comfort us, particularly when we lose our loved ones. And so in these moments now and in the weeks and months ahead, we thank you in advance for your comfort, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I pray that you would be with each family member. We thank you that your word tells us that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. And Father, we sense your presence here today in this memorial service. And as we continue on with songs that meant very much to Carol, Lord, may you be honored, and may our own faith be inspired to live a life devoted to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall bow in harm. is my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior.
Carolyn K. Powell Trimble, age 79, left this earthly life on Tuesday, April 24, 2018, at Mount Joseph Senior Village, Concordia, Kansas. She was born on February 7, 1939, in rural Republic County, Kansas, to Floyd N. Forney and Catherine C. Brown Forney. Carolyn attended Belleville High School in Belleville, Kansas. She married Howard L. Powell on December 23, 1956, in Concordia, Kansas. They moved to Bennington from Concordia in 1973. He preceded her in death on September 13, 1999. She married Keith Trimble, March of 2002, in Concordia, Kansas. Her memberships included United Church of Bennington, Concordia Wesleyan Church, and the Bennington School Booster Club. Carolyn worked for the Cloud County Health Department as a home health aide. She also worked at Asbury Hospital, Salina, Kansas, as a physical therapy aide. Carolyn worked at USD 240, Bennington School System, in the cafeteria department, and she later owned and operated her own daycare from her own home in Bennington. She also served as an EMT volunteer in Bennington. Carolyn loved gardening, flowers, reading, and most of all, spending time with the grandchildren she loved. She is survived by her husband, Keith Trimble, Concordia, Kansas, two daughters, Cindy, Lott, and Kurt, Minneapolis, Kansas, Deanne Giefer, Tulsa, Oklahoma, two stepdaughters, Connie Boley and Mark, Concordia, Kansas, Deanne McDaniel and Michael, Topeka, Kansas, two stepsons, Larry Trimble and Carol of Wichita, Kansas, Doug Trimble, Salina, Kansas, Sister Patty Martin, Omaha, Nebraska, six grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren, 11 step-grandchildren, and 16 step-great-grandchildren, two brother-in-laws, Bill Powell, Concordia, Kansas, Ron Powell, and Marilyn of Guthrie, Oklahoma, sister-in-law, Sharon Larson, and Rick of Beloit, Kansas. She was preceded in death by her first husband, Howard, son, John David Powell, her parents, three sisters, Judith Forney, Betty Youse, Bonnie Wood, and sister-in-law, Peggy Pell. She was greatly loved, and she will be greatly missed. You know, it was my joy to be Carol's pastor, along with Keith, all these years, and it was always a joy to see Carol and Keith holding hands as they came up to worship, and they would sit back right back there. And following every service, she would just shake my hand and tell me what a great sermon it was. And whether it was or not, she told you and she made you believe that it was a great message. She was an encourager, and you can see the way that she filled her life and the professions and the jobs that she did, caring for people and her compassionate, gentle spirit coming out. This Sunday, we are having a youth fundraiser, and often, you know, Keith and Carol wanted to be part of the church's activities, but just getting down to the basement and the crowd there was something that they didn't do a whole lot. But Carol would always come, and when she told me it was a good message, she'd hand me a $20 bill, and she says, "I want this to go to the youth fundraiser." And She was always reaching for Keith, and he was reaching for her. Keith would always tell me, I don't let her get too far away. And, you know, the reality is we know where she is today. And we know she's with her Lord and Savior. She is not lost. She is in the presence of God. And the promise that God makes to every one of us who have our sins covered through the work and the death of Jesus Christ. Her daughter, Dee, is going to come up now, and he's going to share just a few comments about the mom that she grew up with. And go ahead and come on up, Dee. And expressions of how much that she loved her mom and those memories. And this is a time in which we shed tears and we laugh all in the same moment because Carol greatly impacted our lives.
Okay, when you look in the Webster Dictionary, the meaning of mom is so many different things. It starts out with childbearing, but our mom was so much more than that. When she was an infant, her and her older sister, Patty, my Aunt Pat, resided in rural Cuba, Kansas, or up in the northern part of the state, and their family had a house fire. So my Grandma Catherine, Cynthia Catherine, tossed my mom, when she was an infant, out of the second-story window down to my grandpa. She survived the fire, but of course, she never knew her mother. We believe that is when she started her strong journey of faith and her strength that guided her through the rest of the years to come. The countless memories growing up, living in a loving home, disciplined home, most of all love, dogs, camping trips, trips to Nebraska to see our Nebraska family and to Horton to see Aunt Pat and Uncle Bob. Our mom was game for everything. She was. Anything that we suggested we wanted to do or Dad wanted to do, she never said no. One of my favorite memories is in 1974 when, for whatever reason, I don't know who concocted this, but the Robbins family that also had three children, we took a two-week canoe trip on the Republican River. There was three canoes, and I can't even tell you this day where we started out, but it's right outside of Concordia. And my mom was deathly afraid of water. Okay, she did not like the water, so she lived in the life jacket the whole trip. We got about 7 days into that trip, and there came an island in the river, and we decided to take the right-hand side of the river. The current got a hold of it was my dad and my sister and my mom in the canoe, and the current swept that canoe right into a tree, so they capsized. And I swear today, Cindy and I both think that her fingerprints are still in that log, that tree. So needless to say, we got out of the canoes, got dry. We did not get back in the river the rest of the day, but we did complete the trip. Now we'll talk about softball days. So my dad coached softball along with Joe Bully, and both my sister and I. And for whatever reason, when white softball pants got popular, I don't know whoever thinks of white and softball or football, I don't know. But got ready for first game day, and I walk out of my room, and I guess evidently I had on polka-dotted undergarments, and my mom said, young lady, what do you think you're doing? So mom became warden of the softball team, and wardrobe malfunctions, but we learned a lot from that as well. One thing my mom had was class. Her strawberry blonde hair was always in place. She always had on lipstick whenever she was leaving the house. And she definitely could rock the 4-inch stilettos when she went out dancing with Daddy on Saturday night. But we were always on church on Sunday mornings. Back to strength, mom was always a filter for us. Before going to Dad, we knew that we could always go to Mom, and she always had a way of making everything that we wanted to do sound safe and okay to get it past Dad. Advice was, don't ever go to bed angry. Always kiss and make up. Love is unconditional. She had a heart of gold and always made us feel our worth. She was compassionate, loved every kid that came into our home. She loved our dad with true compassion. After he died in 1999, she found love again in 2002. We gained a second dad and a second family, Connie, Larry, Deanne, and Doug. Connie says that my mom makes the best potato salad without a recipe, and that she does. And the older grandkids remember the great bubble baths, the dress-up clothes, and the compassion that she had for others that she shared. I'd like to read a scripture for you, because one thing that my mom did teach me was how to have faith. And there's been many times that I have had to count on faith myself just to get through this life. So I'd like to read to you Revelations 21:4. And God shall wipe away all your tears from their eyes, and shall no longer be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. John 6:50-51. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. John 8:12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And lastly, John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This pastor has had a wonderful privilege over the years to be good friends with Keith and Carol. They have been an important part of my life and my ministry. Not just because I attend Concordia Wesleyan, just because we share so many things. And Keith is more of a brother and a parishioner to me. So I want to share with you today my thoughts as I sat down at my computer a couple days ago and gathered my thoughts on Carol and Keith and thought about Carol. And I want you to know I grieve as well. It's okay to grieve. We grieve because of our loss, but our loss is God's gain today. We do a lot of services for a lot of folks. But every now and then, I get to do one like this. One where the deceased was a faithful and devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would have watched her life and watched how she lived and how she functioned, what was important to her, how she treated others, and especially how she took care of Keith, there would have been no doubt in your mind at all, and you wouldn't have had to need Pastor Bob to tell you today that this was a special lady. She was the daughter of the Most High God and inherited all the wonderful inheritance that Jesus promised her and each one of us. And she walked with him. Carol and Keith have been in Concordia Wesleyan Church family for many years. They have been deeply loved here. Our comments today from Pastor David and I would very well reflect the comments you would get from anyone who's a member and a part of this church family. Many people could come to the pulpit today and talk about Carol and have wonderful things to say about her. From the time when they could no longer attend church because of health factors, they have been deeply missed. And I, of all people in this church family, have had the wonderful privilege to maintain the contact with this wonderful couple over the years of their absence here. This is the sanctuary where Carol chose to worship her Savior. We at Concordia Wesleyan are the people she chose to worship God with, to grow with, to serve God with, and especially to love on. The Standing Stone Sunday Life Connection Sunday School class is where she participated in many lessons from God's Word. And that's the one my wife and I attend. Pastor David and I are the pastors. Carol chose to lead her in her spiritual journey. And I think I could echo these words of anyone who's a part of our Wesleyan Church family. We have been abundantly blessed by Carol's faithfulness to her God and her choosing us as her church family. I sat down to put the message together, and I thought, I want to do something a little different. I don't want it just to be my thoughts, but You know, we have a very tight staff. We are family. We have a wonderful staff. And this time I thought I would ask, and Pastor David has already given you the comments on him to Carol, but I've asked the other staff members, do you have any memories of Carol that you would like me to share at the service on Monday? And yes, they did. I'll share mine first. One of the things I enjoyed when coming to church was watching Carol and Keith walk up the entrance to the building hand in hand or arm in arm, Sunday after Sunday. David's already mentioned that. We did not talk to each other about what we were going to share. Arm in arm, every Sunday together. I remember looking and saying to myself, when I get like that, I want to be like them. Amen, Pat? We want to be like them. In Sunday school class, they attended, and every Sunday, the same one we got, I got hugs and loves from each and always gave Carol a bad time. I love joking. You know, I'm kind of a tease anyway. But Carol was so much fun to tease and have fun with. And I always gave her some way, some little jab, some little thing to joke around with her. And she would always look up and point her finger and she'd say, "Now, Pastor Bob, you're going to get in trouble." And Keith would say, "Yeah, you better watch out. She's pretty mean." We had a good time then. And I've missed them so much. The contact we've had with them for such a long time. Their presence in Sunday school brought an element of fun and lightheartedness that we have missed ever since. And even today. Marilyn Howard, our church secretary, told me this. She said, every time I met Carol or she was walking behind me, she always stopped me or reached out for me with a big smile and a loving hello. She often told me that she was praying for me and encouraged me to keep moving forward. I always left those conversations feeling uplifted and loved on. You just knew you were appreciated by Carol. She had a special way of making one feel like a person of worth, loved and appreciated. That's just one of her many spiritual attributes that resulted in her being so loved and revered by her friends and church family. Secretary Sherry Johnson. Sherry says, Carol not only attended church at Concordia Wesleyan, but she and Keith were active in the ministries and outreaches that we do. They weren't just Sunday morning folks, which is okay, but I mean, they were involved in the ministries of the church. Sherry says, I remember them coming to our trunk and treat Halloween each and every year faithfully. We never know what the weather is going to be like at that time of the year, and we've had a few years when it was really cold out, and we all froze for Jesus. Carol and Keith proudly took their places and chose to freeze with the frozen chosen. Every year, just before the event, Carol would bring a huge bag and sometimes two huge bags of candy to be given away at Trunk and Treat. And that was in addition to what they brought with them to the event. When I began to gather my thoughts and memories of Carol, a passage of Scripture first came to my mind. And as a preacher, I'll tell you, sometimes when you hear someone's name, a Scripture will pop into your mind. A Scripture that really, you know, they really can identify with the person. And when I found out that Carol had passed, when Larry called me just moments after Carol had passed, I thought about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Doesn't that sound like Carol? The Holy Spirit hit the nail on the head for me. And I thought, that was Carol. She was a spiritual work in progress. A living piece of clay, willingly being fashioned and completed by her Creator and her Heavenly Father. That spiritual truth is one of the wonderful attributes of being a part of the body of Christ. The church and my church family, God is at work in each one of us, molding us into the person He desires us to be. When we come willingly to the Savior, and we can say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me. That was Carol. Personally, I believe that people like Carol who cross our path, we have a wonderful opportunity to rub shoulders with, sit in church with, laugh, drink coffee, have a good time with, are a gift to us from God. She belonged to God. She mirrored the fruit of the Holy Spirit. She mirrored a believer, a Christian. She was a gift to us. She was a gift to you. She was a gift to me and all of our church family and the friends around her from God the Father. Carol was a compassionate person who really cared about people. She was a healthcare provider in a number of fields. Healthcare is a demanding field of care, and compassion is absolute necessity. It's absolutely necessary to take care of people's health needs. Healthcare health provider has to be a people person, a patient and forbearing person. Those lacking these qualities usually don't last very long in the healthcare field. And those who possess these qualities usually see their vocation as a mission field and not a job, and enjoy their vocation. Pastor David and I will testify that Carol patterned many seniors who have been a part of this church family over the years, who for health reasons were prevented from attending church. Every time I visited Keith and Carol, she would comment on how much she missed church and her many friends there. And if I talked about every senior person who's been a part of this church family who could no longer come because of health reasons, who has said that to me, and the number of times that it's been spoken to me, we would be here the rest of the afternoon. You know when someone is genuine. You know when someone's faith is real. You know when someone is not playing games, when someone means business with God. And that was Carol. Truth is, we could be here reminiscing the wonderful qualities and spiritual attributes that Carol possessed for the rest of the afternoon. It's one thing I don't really like about doing funerals. Don't get me wrong, but we have a wonderful person like Carol, and I have about 15 minutes. We have 15, 20 minutes, and 40 minutes at the most to talk about their life and the many blessings and ways that they blessed us. It just isn't enough time, folks. So as a pastor, you have to sit down and prioritize what's important to you. What are the most important attributes you think you need to bring out in a service like this? And I had a really hard time. Carol was a wonderful person. She was supernatural. She truly was a work in progress. Carol possessed it, but there is just not enough time to do so. I have never done a service that long. If we were here for the rest of the afternoon, I've never done a service that long, and I bet no one here has attended a service that long either. It just doesn't happen. It's painful. It's painful. But I'm going to focus and finalize our time together today by focusing what I believe to be Carol's most noteworthy and rewarding attribute. Wisdom. Wisdom. I bet none of you thought I'd pick that one. A few moments ago when I began my part of the service, I read seven statements from the mouth of Jesus himself. Seven scriptures that promise given us all humanity by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Carol prepared her departure. She prepared for her departure from this earth by placing her complete faith and trust in the promises that Jesus made her, that he gave to her. She was a wise woman concerning her eternal destiny. And her life begs the question to each of us here today, are you ready? She was that kind of person. Are you ready Are you preparing for your departure? Because it will come. My scripture reference today I've chosen is the third chapter of John. I like it because it's very simple. There is so much confusion in today's world and the culture we live in today about spiritual things. So much confusion about how can a person prepare ahead of time for their death, for their passing from this world to the next, from one side of the spiritual realm to the other. And I've had people tell me, that's impossible, you can't do that. You won't know till you get there where you're going. You don't get there from being a good person. You don't get there by going to church. I read a book by a guy, he said, going to church on Sunday won't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage will make you a car. So it's important. It's the biggest question we have to answer in life. And if you're here today, Carol would want me to ask you that question. Have you prepared for your departure? Reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Early in Jesus' ministry, he encounters a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jewish people. He was a temple ruler. He was a Pharisee from the ruling sect, so to speak, of Israel. Jesus and the Pharisees did not get along because Jesus didn't bring another religion to the earth. He brought a way of life. Religion was already on the planet when Jesus got here, and it wasn't doing anybody any good. That's why I had such a hard time with them. But you will find in these 9 verses, God is not hiding out. God is not hiding the secret to eternal life from us, human beings. God has made it so simple for us to understand, and that's what I want to share today, because Carol would be upset with Pastor Bob if I didn't share it with you today. Reading from verse 1 through verse 9 of John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, How can these things be? And Nicodemus left that night without taking Jesus upon his offer. We find some very simple truths, and I'm going to try to be simple today so we can all understand. Some very simple truths here. Number one, we're all sinners. I think it's interesting to see that Nicodemus didn't look Jesus in the face and ask him, Lord, how can I live forever? How can I have eternal life? What can I do to secure my eternal destiny? He never asked Jesus that. Jesus brought it up. Jesus knew it was on his mind. And that's why Jesus went right to the point. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And truly, truly is an interesting... I looked that up one time trying to find out what that really meant in the Greek as it's written here, and it kind of resembles, listen up. Listen up, give me your attention. I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus knew his ministry that we were all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. In my lifetime of ministry, I've never run into one single person that I have shared the gospel with people, not one single person who said, I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus came. If there hadn't been sinners on the earth, Jesus wouldn't have had to come to this earth born of a woman, born of a virgin, taking upon God, taking upon himself the body of a human being, being abused, persecuted, beaten, crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. Sin didn't exist. He never would have had to come in the first place. But he laid it all on the line for you and me so we could prepare for our time from leaving this planet. We find here that Jesus said, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We have to experience two births. First, we have to be born physically into this world to become a human being. That's the way it is. That's the way God ordained it to be. Secondly, we must be born of the Spirit. That's a capital S. That means the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that inhabits us. After we confess our sins and we repent of our sin and we accept Jesus' death on the cross as the atonement for our sin, we're filled with the Spirit. Peter said that in one of his epistles, that we're filled with the Spirit. He's given to us as a pledge of our inheritance. And our slate is clean. Our slate is clean as far as sin is concerned, because our sin was put on Jesus. And you have to accept his death on the cross as the forgiveness for your sin if your slate is ever going to be cleaned and you're ever going to don the door of heaven. That's just the way it is. Carol was a wise woman. You heard the promises I've read. Every one of those promises is given to every single one of you and us and everyone in the human race. There are many religions on the planet. They all claim to know the way to God. But there's only one Savior, only one Messiah, and only one. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Carol was wise. She prepared for her death. I hope you do as well.
Let's pray. Father, as we have heard your word, we thank you once again in our hearts for the life of Carol, her compassionate spirit, the love that she expressed because of the love of God that was upon her. But Lord, if we leave this service today only thinking about Carol, we've missed the point of her life. Lord, we want to turn our hearts toward you. And we want to make sure that each and every person here has the kind of relationship that Carol had with her Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Bob has shared, that can come only as we embrace the cross of Jesus, seeing that our sins went in his body on the cross, that our sins were buried with him, and that they were raised, that just as Jesus was raised in newness of life, we can walk in a new way of life as well, no longer being affected by the impact of the sin in our life, but living for the glory of God. Lord, your word says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and it's appropriate, Lord, that as we leave this service today, that the family has selected another song that was very important to Carol, but it's one in which we express our own faith when we say that it is well with our soul. You know, we can be a good person and things not be well deep within. We can be in relatively good health and yet our soul be not so well. But Lord, you've promised that if anyone that calls upon you, you would come and forgive their sins and give them a new life, life in you. So Lord, we honor the God Carol served as our own God today as we sing this song, It Is Well With My Soul. Let's sing it.